Meeting someone for the first time can be extremely awkward for many. On the other hand, there are those who find such an experience exhilarating and delightful. To meet someone for the first time is to be confronted with the unknown. And the unknown is frightening to some and exciting for others. The truth is that in order to find out the real person or to know another person is not possible upon the first encounter. It can take a lifetime in a relationship, and then you may not have a total understanding of the other person or people. This is by nature of who we are. We only reveal what we want to reveal about ourselves and believe about another person. This makes it difficult to thoroughly know somebody. You know, how many marriages end because those involved discovered the other person was not who they thought they would be? Friendships may end as people involved discover more about the other person. The con artist uses his or her ability to create a positive but false image of themselves in order to get an initial relationship of trust. And by the time the truth is known about them, it is too late, and the con artist moves on to someone else. To know someone and to allow ourselves to be known can be said to be an almost unwinnable game in life. To begin with, we are so good at hiding those things in our lives which we wish not to reveal. We keep the closet door shut tight, so that others may not know what we are storing inside. In so many ways, we become skillful in keeping who we are secret. Often we reveal ourselves to others by way of mistake. But true relationships grow when we slowly reveal who we are to someone else. It is then the nature of the relationship which then becomes known. Now, God had the opposite problem. He wanted to become known for who he really was and is. He wanted to have his creation know that he was not a revengeful God, but a God of love and forgiveness. And that was not always the case. This is why it was through Jesus that God was to be made known. But how was Jesus to accomplish this? Knowing that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, he could have easily and instantly made himself known by some overwhelming and awesome event. But he needed to become known in a more lasting and meaningful way than just a glancing encounter. He needed to go through the normal process of human relationships. In light of this, As is often the case, Jesus had to be introduced to the people by a third party. This person happened to be John the Baptist. John's baptism of Jesus was the event which introduced Jesus from a heavenly voice. "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then after that, John introduced two of his own disciples to Jesus. That first encounter was enough for Andrew and Peter to follow Jesus. It was a game of first meetings and first impressions which started their relationships. Now, this was followed by the establishment of relationships between Jesus and his other disciples and followers. Through his teachings, his healings, and his miracles, Jesus gradually revealed who he was. But the revelation was not complete during his time. At Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Some say John the Baptist, while others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus forced the issue. "But who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" And that is when Peter proclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." At this point, Peter seemed to have gone well beyond the first impressions, and it seemed like he knew Jesus. But this was not the case. He was willing to know and accept all that seemed positive and good, but was quick to reject any negative about Jesus' future. When Jesus told his future, his journey to Jerusalem, his arrest and torture, his death and his resurrection, then Peter didn't want to know this part of Jesus' life. This was far beyond him. And then Jesus then almost became a stranger to not only him, but the other disciples, for they didn't want to know either. Now, 6 days later, Jesus was reinforced, not only who he was, but who he would be. And Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his three close disciples, took him up a high mountain, and as Luke said, he took them there to pray. Jesus' future had to be confirmed. This happened through the appearance of Moses and Elijah, and most importantly, by the voice of God, who once again stated, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Second time, God said these words. Baptism, transfiguration. For Peter, this was an event to celebrate and to preserve, according to Luke. "I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And you can almost hear Peter say, "You need not go into Jerusalem and go through all that foolishness you have talked about." Peter still refused to let himself truly know Jesus and what his life was about. He just wanted to preserve his limited understanding by keeping Jesus in a safe place. It was just too damaging and hurtful for him to really accept what Jesus was saying. Although Jesus was being revealed in this mountaintop experience, there was resistance in accepting all the implications involved. The reality of it all would only come until after his resurrection. This was God's plan and was confirmed by the transfiguration. But the time was not ready for this event to be known and fully understood as they came down that mountain. Therefore, Jesus told the three disciples, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." See, Jesus knew that these disciples didn't really understand and know him. And he didn't want to foul it up by the disciples going around saying the wrong thing. Although Jesus was being revealed in this mountaintop experience, there was that resistance in accepting all the implications involved. This leads me to find some truth in the statement that someone is not fully known until after they die. At this time of death, all the various points of understanding of that person are revealed as the various relationships share their knowledge of the person. This collective sharing brings with it a more revealing understanding of who the person really was. You know, we are fortunate. We are fortunate if we have the accumulation of all the understanding and knowledge of Jesus with many centuries of God's revelation to us. We know what life was all about. His life was all about. We do not need a vision like the transfiguration. Through faith, we have come to know this Jesus. But all too often, like Peter, we wish to keep him in hiding and in a safe quarters. We wish to build a tabernacle so that he can stay there. We do not want the likes of Jesus to enter the rigors and trials of life. For many, it's just fine to keep him within the walls of a sanctuary, within the tabernacles of theology, within the grips of tradition, and within the mysticism of a liturgy. The transfiguration tells us that this is not the Jesus who came to reveal God. To know this Jesus is to know the sacrifice of the cross and the joy of the resurrection. To know this Jesus is to let him walk with us throughout the joys and trials and sorrows of life. To know this Jesus is to be able to sacrifice so others may live. This is when we begin to realize God's love, and when we begin to know this Jesus and God's gift of salvation. To know Jesus is to walk with him, as we travel life's road. It is then we begin to hear God's voice proclaiming us as his children with whom he is pleased. To hear those words is the joy of life. Amen.